The Paddy Power Half Hour on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power, the greatest football partnership since Shearer and Owen.
You're very welcome along to the Paddy Power Half Hour. We're going to be taking a look forward to this weekend's action in the Premier League after the English teams played their first games this week in Europe with very mixed results. They're all back to action this weekend. Four games in London on Sunday, and also we'll be looking forward to a South Coast derby which kicks things off tonight in the Premier League. Our football coverage is with thanks to Paddy Power. For more information on responsible gambling, please check out dunlewy.net. With me to look forward to the games this weekend, we're joined by Philip Egan. And also by Ronan Mullen as well. Good afternoon to you, gentlemen.
Hey, Will.
Will, how are you?
I think Chelsea against Liverpool is the place to start, guys. It's the big game of the weekend. Liverpool have been on fire in the Premier League field so far, but they suffered a defeat midweek against Napoli.
Yeah, I wouldn't be too worried, though. I don't think Jurgen Klopp should be either, because it was a strange one where it was nil-all. Napoli brought on Fernando Llorente, and you kind of thought that's the pace, the threat of pace in behind their defence is gone now. But they got a penalty, and then they conceded a sloppy goal in injury time, and they actually played very well, weren't clinical enough up front, but I think back to last season when they lost in Napoli, they didn't even have a shot on target. So they're certainly playing a lot better. Fabinho is now become a key part of this Liverpool team. The back four picks itself.
The back five.
Allison's fit. Now Fabinho plus two in midfield, because he's just become that important for them. I know Jurgen Klopp was asked about him in the build-up to this game. He just said, a very smart footballer, very skilled in defensive things, he said. But what he did very well in Naples the other night was he picks players off quite easy. And his distribution is quite good. He's obviously played at right-back before as well. So, you know, he's got technical ability. I think back to the United game at Anfield last season, he put in a lovely ball for Mane to score the first goal in that game. So he's become a crucial part. The front three didn't exactly click on Tuesday night, but
despite the fact they have been clicking so far, yeah, they were brilliant last week.
Yeah, I think Firmino has been key to them, but I think they'll definitely fancy their chances against Chelsea, where Chelsea haven't kept a clean sheet under Frank Lampard. And, you know, we don't know what the latest is on Mason Mount. I think N'Golo Kante could be back, which would be key for them. But he's now gone to a three at the back, Lampard. I don't know if he's going to stick with that. So he's kind of messing about with it. But you can see both teams scoring, but I think Liverpool will win.
What do you think, Ronan? Chelsea have got a very poor record against Liverpool over the last five seasons. They've only won one of the last nine. That was the Olivier Giroud goal at Anfield a couple of years ago. Since then, obviously, we've had some really good games between the sides, but Liverpool seem to really have the edge in this fixture in recent times.
Absolutely, and even Frank Lampard, from his own point of view, looking for his first win at Stamford Bridge, and that wasn't helped last night as things didn't go their way. So, yeah, it's a good point, and the way Liverpool play, they'll be happy for Chelsea to play this sort of cavalier football, because they know they'll be able to pick them off on the break. And as Phil said, it was a bit of an outlier that game against Napoli, because I think they had more shots in the first quarter of that game than the corresponding game they lost last year. So they actually played pretty well, and it belies the form line of Robertson and Van Dijk, who were at fault for the goals. Like, that's not going to happen every week, and it's certainly not going to happen this weekend, you wouldn't imagine.
Phil, what have you made of Frank Lampard's Chelsea so far? I mean, obviously it was a difficult way to start because they had the transfer ban. They lost Eden Hazard as part of the summer as well. He's had to invest in the likes of Mason Mount, who we knew from being on loan last season, and particularly Tammy Abraham, who has been in really good goal-scoring form.
Yeah, and this is a big test for Tammy Abraham to score against one of the bigger clubs. I mean, the league leaders, if you can score against the league leaders. But he's now scoring multiple goals. Obviously, he got his hat-trick last week, but, you know, he scored two goals the week before. So he was given his chance, because at the start of the season, Giroud was between him and Giroud, although he did start Tammy Abraham at Old Trafford, cracked one off the post, but, you know, scores his goal. Remember, he missed a penalty against Liverpool in the Super Cup, and he was subjected to racial abuse online after that, but, you know, he was put back in, scored against Norwich, his confidence is up. You know, he'll definitely be a lot harder for Liverpool to play against, even though Giroud's got a really good record against Liverpool. But if you're playing that high line the way Liverpool will want to, then Abraham gives you more to think about. But I think Chelsea are going to concede a lot of goals this season. There's going to be games where they score a lot of goals. They're going to be quite easy on the eye. Like, there's no pressure on Lampard, really, because if it fails, then he'll just say, well, I couldn't sign any players. And if he does really well, then he's seen as this football...
And you'd imagine his club legend status buys him a bit of extra time.
Absolutely,
as well.
Yeah. And they've got good enough players that they're not going to lose that many games. They could get found wanting against the bigger teams, and but that's kind of what I think might happen this weekend.
As conveyor belts go, like, Chelsea's youth system over the years has been churning out youth titles and cups, and it was going to take something like this for them to actually put their faith in youth. And Callum Hudson-Odoi signed a new contract. Granted, he's out injured, but
he's close to come back.
Yeah, it's a huge. That's going to be a huge fillip.
There's certain irony in all this as well, Ronan. The fact that the reason that Chelsea were unable to sign players was because of the way they were recruiting young players, and now it's given young players a chance.
Yeah, exactly. And you saw with Mount, like as Phil said, we're not quite sure how long he's going to be out for. But Tammy Abraham has, needless to say, they would have signed a new striker if they were able to fill that void. And they've given him the number 9 shirt, which is it's kind of a sign of the trust he's putting in him. And starting him at Old Trafford, as Phil said, he hit the post early in that game, and that could have really set him on the right track. But he's really kicked on. He was so impressive last week. Like, his hat-tricks go, he really showcased all you want in your number 9. Like, all the pace and dev finishes as well.
Yeah, I like the last.
We're only half a dozen games into the season, Phil, but still, this is a big chance for Liverpool, isn't it? I mean, we have to assume that Man City are going to pick up maximum points tomorrow, but City are having to play catch-up if Liverpool keep winning these early games.
Yeah, and they're on this run now of 14 wins. I don't think it really matters. Like, people are talking about record amount of consecutive wins, but the fact that it's been split in seasons kind of, to me, makes it slightly irrelevant. It's like this calendar year total scores. Yeah. But no, they've been very impressive. Adrian actually made an amazing save in Naples on Tuesday night. He is starting to look sharper. So, you don't worry about them as much in that area, where we know Alisson will probably be back after the next international break. They reckon he should be back for the Manchester United game at Old Trafford. But Liverpool are going to be pretty efficient at home. We know that. Even they suffered the early setback last week. So it's away from home. I think back to the game last year, they needed a wonder goal from Daniel Sturridge to rescue a point. They obviously, Chelsea aren't as strong as they were. But away from home against teams in the Big Six is where, Liverpool dropped points. They'd obviously, not many teams are going to beat City, but they didn't beat United either. I know Everton are just outside the top six. They didn't win at Everton, so they have to try and win these games. They didn't win at Arsenal as well. So if they can go to Chelsea on Sunday and win comfortably, impressively, it puts down another marker. And basically, I think City already realise that Liverpool are not going anywhere, that they're in for another battle.
How are you calling this one, Ron?
I think 1-1 is probably the most likely result. I think Chelsea need to get something, and Liverpool just want to get back to winning ways. I think that probably how it's going to play out.
That Liverpool run of undefeated games, just one defeat in the last 44 in the Premier League, which is their best run since 1990. I know, as Phil said, it does go back over a calendar season and so on, but still, that is a very impressive record. Chelsea, though, they've got a good record at Stamford Bridge in terms of avoiding defeat as well. They've just lost once in their last 24 at home, so maybe a draw is one to watch out for this weekend. If you can't watch that game on the TV, it is live here on Off the Ball this coming Sunday as well. On commentary for his former Republic of Ireland manager Brian Kerr will be joining Nathan Murphy for that one. Perhaps the next game we'll look at then is our other commentary game on Sunday on Off the Ball and News Talk. Stephen Doyle is going to be joined by Gary Breen for this one. It's West Ham against Manchester United, and Philip, potentially Manuel Pellegrini can set a record here. He's beaten 3 Manchester United managers in the Premier League already, and he could potentially take a 4th if he beats Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and will become the first manager to do so. Can West Ham beat Manchester United Sunday lunchtime?
Yeah, absolutely. They beat them there last season, and there's nothing to suggest that they couldn't do it. They obviously lost Masuaku in the second half against Villa, so even when they were down to 10 men, you kind of thought they could still win this game, but they'll definitely fancy a crack at United. They've had a decent enough response since they got hammered 5-0 by City on the first weekend, West Ham. Attacking, they've got some really good players. Yarmolenko's back in. I like Allaire, the striker. He gives a few different things. He's obviously physical, but he's no slouch either. Obviously, Felipe Anderson on his day is excellent. And I thought Declan Rice was very good on Monday night, actually, where...
He was brilliant in this fixture last year as well.
Yeah. So this is a tough one for United. And this is the first game now for United after a Europa League night. And I know a lot of the first-team players would have been rested, but Rashford played last night and actually didn't have the greatest of games. But the rest of the... Most of the team that will come back in, you know, they'll be fresh. But this is... I wonder, is this going to be a problem for United, the Sunday games after playing Europa League? Not always. They're obviously going to be on the box on Sunday, but there'll be times where they're kind of under the radar, where their game obviously has been changed because of the European one. But certainly I kind of find with United, looking at most fixtures now, it's very hard to say they're nailed on to win games.
I did kind of think that about Leicester last week as well.
I felt that with Leicester. I thought maybe a draw was, but that was a very important win for them and a clean sheet. And since then, De Gea's contract has been signed. And, you know, the encouraging thing for last night was Mason Greenwood scored his first goal. You know, the Europa League was always going to be used as a competition for the likes of Mason Greenwood.
That was a fantastic finish. The way he worked the ball for the shot as well.
It wasn't a great game, but it was certainly one of the big positives to take out of it.
Van Persie-esque, I think Phil said, the way he switched it onto his right foot, and like, you have to agree that's it's a good comparison. Hopefully he
just has that look about him, yeah. Where I'm not saying he's going to be as good as Van Persie, but that's what Van Persie used to do, where you'd almost say, go on, put it onto your right foot. We know it's usually just for standing on, but every so often come up with a goal.
We're broadcasting at the moment on our social media channels on Off the Ball as well, on Facebook and on Twitter, if you want to join us there. Also on OTB Sports Radio on the Go Loud app as well. Peter's been in contact on Twitter at Off the Ball. Even as a Chelsea fan, I can say with confidence, Chelsea could easily lose this game 4-5 on Sunday. They play with great naivety at times, and too many players disappear after an hour of the game as well. So keep your comments coming in at Off the Ball there. Switching back to the West Ham versus Manchester United game at the weekend, Ronan. Obviously, Solskjaer has been able to do quite a bit of rotation here. I watched them against Leicester last week, and I just kind of felt that United were lacking a spark a little bit. They got the goal early on with the penalty, but then after that they created very little. Where's that spark going to come from on Sunday?
Yeah, it's difficult because all the narrative around Paul Pogba is that he's a bad influence in the club, but when you take him out, the X factor really seeps out of the team. And they always seem to have a purple patch in games. Like, you remember, like, one of the away games this season against Wolves, they played really well in one patch in the first half and then kind of were really clinging on at the end. So I think they need to sort of extend their good play in games. And, like, in theory, a counter-attacking team like United should flourish away from home, where teams are expected to keep the ball in front of their home fans. But United have a terrible away record. Like, one win, this would be one win in nine if they don't get a result on Sunday. So I think they really need to lay a marker down, because the top four could start to elude them and they could have to switch focus to the Europa League. And as much as it's a good idea to sort of blood players, they really might have to make that their first port of call if the league goes awry, you know.
I get the feeling as well, Phil, it could be important, the team news ahead of this one. We're waiting for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's press conference later this afternoon. Pogba is one of those players who is apparently touch and go for this weekend. Yeah. He comes back in, that's a big boost, isn't it?
Yeah, like, for all the headlines he creates, they're a better team with him in. Now, when they had a goal to protect last week, they had the midfield that could do that. But if they're trying to create chances, McTominay, Pereira and Matic
are going to create.
They're, you know, like, they're quite limited in what they can create. And then you're just trying to rely on sitting in and hitting West Ham on the break, and, you know, using the pace of Rashford. But Rashford didn't have a good game last night. Missed chances, and Solskjaer has talked about, you know, how him and Martial need to be scoring 20 goals each, and that could well happen. But away from home, you'd rather they were doing it away from home, where, like, United, as poor as they've been in the last few seasons, they've still got a really good home record. But it's away from home is where that really determines where you finish in the table. That's where the tough points are earned. And that race for the top four, the likes of Chelsea, the likes of Arsenal, the likes of United, they're going to have some really bad weeks because they're just going to be inconsistent. So any away points you can get, you take them.
Ronan, we've already, Phil said West Ham could potentially get something from this game. How do you see it going on Sunday?
I think United will get a win on Sunday. I think maybe 2-1 or something like that.
Okay. Going to be an interesting one to see. We might just stick with the games which are coming up this Sunday, because Arsenal, another of those teams who've had to juggle Europe and then get ready for this weekend. They've been really good at home, Arsenal. They've got a really good record against Aston Villa as well. They've won their last six competitive meetings between the sides. But Arsenal are leaking goals in the league, Phil, and that has to be a concern.
Well, at times last season, Emery played three at the back, and he's gone with a flat back four, and that's scary when you've got David Luiz in it. Now, last night against Frankfurt, they won 3-0 with Luiz and Mustafi,
which should come with a health warning, really.
Yeah, but see, that's a Frankfurt team that have lost all their attacking talent from last season. Jovic obviously went to Real Madrid, Allaire playing for West Ham, and Rebic is gone as well. So, not quite as impressive as it would have been, but what was impressive was some of the young players, like the likes of Willock and Saka, were very good. But Arsenal did have a very good home record under Emery last season, because they play with a real tempo, and I think they'll have too much for Villa. And again, that's where, if Arsenal don't get top four, it'll be their away form that trips them up. And that's where what I was saying in terms of the likes of Arsenal, the likes of Chelsea, United, that they're going to drop, most of their points are going to be dropped on the road. So I think it should be straightforward enough for Arsenal on Sunday.
Ronan, how do you see this one going?
Yeah, like, Arsenal are the great entertainers. Like, because they're so weak at the back, they really have to rely on their goals. And as we said last week, I think they should just try and get as much attack and potential into this team as possible. And it was funny watching Real Madrid the other night and seeing Gareth Bale playing and James Rodriguez, and thinking Arsenal again, Mustafi's still getting a game, and Ozil, who by all accounts Emery didn't fancy last season, was back in last weekend. And you know, they're just kind of, they're still kind of finding their feet a little bit. I just think they need to be more on the front foot and maybe just try and outscore the opposition as much as they can.
Well, Phil has mentioned how error-prone Arsenal are. Since the start of last season, Arsenal's players have made 14 errors which have directly resulted in goals. And that links into one of our Paddy Power offers for this weekend. Arsenal against Aston Villa. If an Arsenal defender makes an error which leads directly to an Aston Villa goal, you can get odds on that special of 4-1. If it's happened 14 times across 40 games or so, it's a possibility to happen.
Socrates last week, obviously Luiz gave away a penalty as well. Like, David Luiz, when he played with Chelsea, didn't make as many mistakes because he played with a three. Like, he was part of the Conte team that won, and he had Aspilicueta, who could cover because he naturally is a fullback, so he was used to covering, and you had Gary Cahill, but because there was three, he had more protection. But putting him in a two-man central defence, there's going to be a few scary moments in there.
He's already given away two penalties for Arsenal. He only gave away three in both the spells of Chelsea put together. Yeah. So it just shows you how reliant they are on him to try and clean things up at the back. And he's not the best, not the best guy for that.
I saw he did an interview last May when Chelsea were getting ready to play Arsenal in the Europa League final, and he said his determination was to try and keep Arsenal out of the Champions League. I think a lot of people have put that article back up in recent days to say he's still doing the job on that one. So that's Arsenal against Aston Villa, which is coming up this Sunday as well. Man City, obviously you're doing a bit of chasing, Phil, going into this weekend, because last weekend they wouldn't have expected to drop points, but suffered a real shock defeat.
Yeah.
You'd imagine, though, they get back to business against Watford, a team they've got an excellent record against recently. And one I was thinking about when it comes to goal scorers this weekend, Sergio Aguero's got 7 in his last 10 against Watford. He's obviously the man they're going to have to try and stop tomorrow.
Yeah, and he was left on the bench in the Shakhtar game, so you'd imagine he's going to start. And Fernandinho played in Kharkiv against Shakhtar, and they didn't really lay a glove on City. And people think, oh, they could be weak with Fernandinho playing as a centre-half. I think even before the injuries they had at the back, I just assumed Fernandinho was going to play as a centre-half this season with the signing of Rodri, plus Fernandinho getting on a little bit. He's a good footballer. He can break up play, so why not play him in a deeper role, which we've seen him in so many times, because he can drop in when players are out of shape. And let's be honest, Fernandinho is a better option at centre-half than John Stones at the moment, because things are not going well for John Stones. And at least with Fernandinho and Otamendi, you have Fernandinho, who is a lot more confident on the ball than John Stones is. Stones has that capability, but as I said, he's just not confident at the moment, and he's going to be out for 5 or 6 weeks. But this is a good game for City, home against a team that, if Troy Deeney was playing, maybe they could go a bit direct. Mm. But I think the way they play, it'll suit Manchester City, and comfortable enough win, I think. We said that last week, but I think because it's at the Etihad.
Yeah, Watford still, I guess, you know, find their feet probably under the new management, well, the re-management again of Kike Sanchez-Flores. They've got a horrible record against the traditional top six, though. They've conceded 45 goals in their last nine games against the top six. You'd imagine they're going to probably concede goals tomorrow as well, Ron.
Yeah, and this fixture, like the FA Cup final from last year, was kind of the beginning of the end for Javi Gracia, really. Mm. And it kind of ended the domestic season on a sour note when you kind of saw if our Man City were ahead of the group, and I don't think that gap is closed, especially between those two teams. I think City will win easily. And on Fernandinho, like the elemental thing when you look at him is that he's probably a bit small for a centre-half, but Barcelona were hearing all about that when Mascherano was playing at the back, and Pep Guardiola teams just don't concede many crosses around. They keep the ball so well that it's not going to be an issue, and they're happy to have the ball at the back and take their chances.
And Pep, I think, is a tactician as well, Ron. He was saying this week that essentially he's relishing the idea of having to maybe change around his back four a bit because of these two major injuries that they have. I think genuinely he doesn't have a problem slotting players into positions. He'll put Kyle Walker at centre-half if he has to as well.
Yeah, and the brand new right wing back there ready to come on and make an impact, and they could, as you said, play Kyle Walker in a position he's accustomed to for England on that right side of the back three. So yeah, I think he actually relishes the challenge, as you said, and it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. This is a nice fixture for them, and the European troubles we mentioned with other teams, they don't really have that. They had their toughest game of the group last night or on Wednesday night, and they just coasted it, so they'll be grand until the new year.
All right, Phil, moving on to Leicester against Tottenham Hotspur then. Spurs obviously to be very, very disappointed with how they played in the second half midweek in the Champions League, because they put themselves into such a winning position. They're 2-0 up, everything is kind of coasting along nicely, and then they just dropped their performance entirely.
Yeah, but the thing is about that game, they were 2-0 up, but it was strange that they were quite fortunate to be 2-0 up. Now, Harry Kane ran into the box, he was taken down, and then Lucas Moura scores a really good goal. But if they go in 2-0 up at half-time, you'd imagine they see it out. There's just a little bit of a concern with Spurs that some of the noise coming out of Pochettino, some of the things that he's saying as well, and the fact that he obviously left Danny Rose and Serge Aurier at home, didn't bring them to Greece, and Davinson Sanchez played as a right-back, and Ben Davies, not as good, those two full-backs as the other two, but I just can't believe he's left himself in a situation where they gradually, like a few seasons ago, they had Kyle Walker and Kieran Trippier as, so Walker was number one, Trippier was number two. Then
Preempt what you're about to say, but I'd imagine it's not Pochettino who decided not to reinvest in fullbacks.
Yeah, absolutely. But the problem is, if this is their model or business model, then ultimately they're just going to be doing the same thing. It's going to be rinse and repeat. Eriksen was poor the other night. You wonder, you know, is he just biding his time? Now, he cut up his performances and think the better I play, the quicker I get a move away. But they didn't seem to have much of a game plan the other night. And Dele Alli played, honestly, watching the second half, I didn't even know he was playing. Now, he's only just back from injury, but he hasn't really pushed on from a couple of seasons ago where he was, you know, this talent, but he just kind of drifts in and out of games every so often. He comes up with something good, but this is a tough game for them. I would imagine Son will come in. I know he scored in the fixture last season. Brendan Rodgers and Leicester, I think they're going to do a lot of nice things, but there's going to be a lot of games where they don't win, where you think they should. Like Chelsea game, should have beaten Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. They drew. They're going to play lovely football, but it's just probably going to be plan A the whole time. And some days they'll beat teams, other days you'll think, how did they not win that game?
I think they just lack something, Leicester, Ronan, kind of up front in terms of watching against Man United last week. Madison, you know, does a lot of nice things in the final third. But I think until they get a Jose Perez into a position where he can be effective, they seem to just lack that cutting edge a little bit at the moment up front.
Yeah, and that was a vulnerable Man United team last week, and they didn't really show the ambition. Like, that game was almost there for the taking. United, as I said earlier, were good for the first 20 minutes, but for the last 70 minutes they were sitting off asking Leicester to equalise, and Leicester couldn't produce. And they've been kind of pedestaled as a top six contender without any real merit. That's obviously a Leicester team has won the league in the last few years, but this current crop, like, they have to show their mettle before they start getting that sort of gravitas almost. And I think this is a winnable game where they can lay a marker down against the Tottenham team, which are a little bit out of sorts. And if Leicester have those sort of credentials, they need to be getting 3 points this weekend.
Just a few quick hits around the rest of the games this weekend then, Ron. I'll give you a first shout on this one. Everton against Sheffield United. Sheffield United are still waiting for that away win since coming back up to the Premier League after being so impressive in the Championship last season. Everton have been a real kind of mixed bag so far this year. Is this a game where Sheffield United could take points?
I'm not sure. Again, I think the onus is on Everton to get 3 points here because, again, they've been sort of mooted as a top six contender and they invested well, I think, by all accounts in the summer. People were impressed with their business. But this is a winnable game against a newly promoted team. As much as we have a grow for Sheffield United because of the Irish representation, I think most people would expect Everton to get 3 points here.
Yeah. Phil, take a look at Burnley against Norwich. I mean, Norwich have got a very poor away record as well. 15 of the last 17 they've lost away from home in the Premier League. But they got to go into this game away at Burnley with massive confidence.
But Sean Dyche should be loving this. The clash of styles. He'd be there telling his players all week. They beat City last week. You know, they've got a bit, they'll have a bit of a swagger about them. They're coming to Turf Moor. Let's show them what it's all about. Let's go direct. Let's test out that makeshift central defence. Knock it long to Ashley Barnes and Chris Wood. And I'd be surprised if Norwich won this game. I could see Burnley just basically...
But Burnley have made Turf Moor a fortress again. Yes. They were a bit indifferent at
times
last season.
I've been at games in Turf Moor. Horrible. lovely people there.
Endearing yourself to the people of Burnley.
Lovely people there. The club are great. But just not a nice place for an away team to travel. Just, the crowd get into it and it's going to be physical. And I just think it'll be too much for Norwich.
Ronan, Wolves were best of the rest last season. They were so impressive. They invested well, it seemed, over the summer as well, coming into the season. It's just been a really rocky start to the year for them. They're still awaiting that first Premier League win of this season as well. And not an easy trip for them tomorrow. They have to go to Crystal Palace, who are really, really good at home.
Yeah, Wolves, it's this age-old tale where you get into Europa League maybe before you plan for and they just kind of have to use their squad accordingly. We're kind of unlucky last night, but still, it's a bad start. And you know, this rotation of Thursday, Sunday is going to be tough for them as well. It's something to get used to. Crystal Palace, like the win against Man United aside, I think Roy Hodgson's on the clock a little bit. Like, they've got a very talented squad of players. He's probably not getting the best out of them. And if they don't beat Wolves at home or at least get a positive result, I think they're going to be in trouble.
Now, Crystal Palace unbeaten at Selhurst Park in their last four, so they'll want to keep that run going this weekend, Phil.
Yeah, I think what was unfortunate for Palace is Mamadou Sakho came back in, and in fairness, he's been pretty good for Palace since he signed from Liverpool, but he just wasn't sharp, and Spurs ripped them apart in the first half. And I thought Palace, actually, I expected Palace to sit back and frustrate them, but they'll see a home game against Wolves as a really good opportunity to bounce back. Because like we did our previews at the start of the season, like Wolves are my tip for the team that were going to fall off last season. And I think last season was so good for them. They beat so many top six teams, but stuck with the same 11. I think people have kind of figured them out a bit. And Matt Doherty's been injured a bit. Adama Traore, he was...
They're not like-for-like replacements.
No. And Traore came on against United and made a huge difference, but he would frustrate the hell out of you where, you know, what he can bring, but defensively he just wouldn't be as tuned in as Matt Doherty, so... That's one of the downsides. That maybe a draw on that one.
Well, look, if you're an unders backer, I think Newcastle against Brighton's a good one to go for unders this weekend, because, Ronan, we've had four games between them over the last couple of seasons. Four goals scored across those four fixtures. They've been pretty dire affairs so far. Now, Steve Bruce wants to not emulate Steve McLaren this weekend as well. Steve McLaren went his first four home games at St James's Park without a win, and Steve Bruce wants to make sure that doesn't happen this weekend.
Yeah, like you can see with Brighton, they're trying to be a bit more progressive, whether it's to the detriment of a formula that was working quite well for them last season. And then Newcastle, it still feels a little bit like Steve Bruce is a caretaker manager for Rafa Benitez, because they're playing basically the exact same way, and until he starts putting his own stamp on things, he's not going to win the respect of the fans, even though he is a local boy. I think he needs to start getting 3 points on the board, yeah.
Before we look at the specials, Phil, how do you see that one going? Can Newcastle get up and running there?
They can. Like they were good at the start. They started well against Liverpool, but I think that was more a case Liverpool just took a bit of time to wake up, and then it was a backs of the wall kind of job and they couldn't keep them out. But it's the kind of game where I don't see Newcastle losing, but they want to be beating teams like Brighton at home. I don't really, still very early days with Brighton and Graham Potter to know what to make of it all.
Well, look.
The first week we were all thinking, wow, beating Watford away.
But so early in the season, it's difficult to make.
First day of the season, you can always get a few freak results.
Well, look, that brings us round to what odds, Paddy, some of our special bets for this weekend. Everton against Sheffield United, Ron, as you mentioned, a lot of Irish players are likely to be involved in that one. Seamus Coleman likely for Everton, and Sheffield United have their pick of half a dozen. An Irish player to score any time during that game, and given there could be six of them on the field at any given time, is 4-5. Chelsea against Liverpool, we've got two specials around that. A Chelsea player over the age of 23 to score any time is 10-11. Sometimes that's a case of maybe getting Wikipedia and checking the age of a few players on the Chelsea.
Jorginho's over 23.
Yeah.
If they get a penalty, he'll definitely be taking it.
Yeah. Pulisic be what, about 23?
I think he's just under. Over. Is he going to play? See, I'm trying to work out who plays if Mount is injured.
Willian
has been playing. He'll play. But whether it's Ross Barkley or Pulisic.
Yeah, okay, well, that'll suit if either of them score. In terms of that game as well, on all markets, there is a money-back offer. 6 out of 6, you get a free bet if Liverpool beat Chelsea. So we were talking about Liverpool earlier. I mean, every chance they beat Chelsea. So that's an extra incentive if you've got a bet on the game. It could potentially maybe cover one of the wilder bets that you have on the game as well. And also, Arsenal against Aston Villa. We mentioned this one a little bit earlier. Ron, I think there's a very good chance of this happening. An Arsenal defender to make an error which leads directly to an Aston Villa goal is 4-1.
That's absolutely nailed on, I would have thought. So
it's like the old classic, take a booking on Mascherano, you're probably going to win most times. Okay, well, there are bets for this weekend in terms of the Paddy Power Half Hour. Thanks for joining us. You can watch or listen back, of course, on all our off-the-ball platforms, OTB Sports Radio, on the Go Loud app as well. We'll be back next week to take you through the Premier League action. I hope you enjoy your weekend.
The Paddy Power Half Hour on Off The Ball.
With Paddy Power, the greatest football partnership since Jeff and Heskey.